Ever wonder if there's more to the movies you love? Do you like to ponder how they got from A to Z? Who chose the plot twists? Why use those characters? Is there a deeper meaning? We're here to explore those questions and maybe learn a bit along the way. VGB Studios proudly presents The Filmlosophers.
Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of The Filmlosophers, the show that gets into the movies you love and digs a little deeper. I am your host, Eddie Van Wyven. Alongside me, as always, is Mr. Spencer John Williams. It works. You can't even look at it and get upset. You can't even get mad.
All right. No, it's a good one for once. Like, it took almost 200 episodes, but here we are.
You know what? Just because we're drawing close doesn't mean nothing's impossible. We are not alone, too, by the way. We actually have with us a longtime listener and a good friend to the show, Mr. Travis Cook.
Hello, friends.
Hey.
We're excited because we brought Travis in. Travis has got to be one of the most knowledgeable people I know when it comes to this particular subject. And as you may have read the title, you know what that is, Star Wars. So stick around as we start talking about that. But before we do, Spencer.
A long time ago, in a galaxy far, 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 far away, the Filmlosophers podcast is brought to you by Mingle Media TV and VGB Studios. Each Wednesday morning, check to see if the Rancor Pit needs cleaning, then head on over and download the latest episodes on your favorite streaming platforms such as Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Pocket Cast, Libsyn, Player FM, Audio Boom, and...
What? Pocket Cast?
What?
We're on Pocket Cast?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
That's where I listen to...
Sorry, I couldn't finish. Go ahead.
Okay. The Force will always be with you. But until you're a Jedi ghost, you'll have to communicate some other way. Connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/filmlustverse and on Twitter at twitter.com/filmlustverse101 so we can stop the Empire from taking over. Finally, head on over to our website to find our sacred text and listen to our entire
sacred text. Sorry.
You're just throwing all sorts of wrenches out here, man. We have a website. It's filmlusters.com. Please check it out.
We got over 190 episodes on our website. Check them out. All of them are really great. We just did an awesome and fun review of Frozen 2. Sorry about that. I was like, as I was talking, I was trying to remember, what did we review last week? I was trying to keep it up, and then I realized, oh wait.
Yeah.
So it was
apparently a great movie. Everyone had fun and there were no complaints.
Why are you lying? Like, no, but we're excited. Yeah, we have over 190 episodes on our website. Check us out, filmlosophers.com. But tonight we are talking about something very unique and very special to our hearts, as we are gearing up for not only the end of an era, but we're also gearing up for an awesome event that we have this upcoming Monday, the 16th. Is it, Spence? The
16th. Yeah, that sounds right.
Oh, I'm so glad you're...
when did I become the studio calendar? I'm sorry.
It is the 16th.
There you go.
I have it on my calendar.
See? At least somebody does.
It's on mine. I just didn't have it open.
The 16th, we have an awesome Star Wars trivia night in store for our lovely listeners, as well as the people of the Northern California Sacramento area. Head on over to Oblivion Comics and Coffee, where you can get some great eats, awesome drinks, lots of comics, and some awesome fun with Star Wars trivia. And as well, you may know, if you haven't been living under a rock, you're well aware, the last film of this particular 9-chapter franchise of Star Wars is coming to a conclusion with Episode 9 coming in a few weeks. And, of course, one may ask, what if you had been living under a rock? What if you are not familiar with the Star Wars franchise? And so me and Spence got to talking, and we realized, between the two of us, we do not know enough about Star Wars to have this conversation.
Nope.
What?
It was just plain and simple.
I know things.
Spencer knows Jar Jar Binks.
I'm upset, and I feel bad for the actor. That's what I know.
You know what? I was just reading about that, too, right now. I'm like, oh my gosh, that poor guy.
Yeah, that poor man. Like, he didn't write the character, people.
But we realized we needed to bring in an expert. And there we go. Therein goes the choice to bring in Mr. Travis. And Travis, you've been, like, for as long as I've known you, you've been a longtime fan of Star Wars.
Yeah, definitely. All the way back to childhood, I have been a Star Wars fan through the highs and through the lows. And
I like how he says that, through the highs and the lows.
Well, there's a couple of low points, but George. Mostly highs. But yeah, definitely.
And honestly, like, I love the franchise. I love everything that has been going with it. I've been a part of the fandom for this since I was younger. I haven't always been knowledgeable of everything in there. But knowing a lot of the things, getting a chance to see a lot of the things that I've gotten a chance to see and reading about and learning about, it kind of came to a point to where I realized we needed to take the time to pass that knowledge on to anybody who is not familiar. I mean, if anybody were to finally learn about what Star Wars is about, what better time than the 11th hour? Am I right? I mean, you're literally on the tail end of this franchise, and you're like, maybe I should learn about this stuff, you know, and to go and everybody's getting all hype. I'm going to be very honest with you. I was so happy to see The Force Awakens when it first came out. And I remember actually being in theaters. I actually remember skipping out on my company's Christmas party.
Nice.
To go see this movie. And it was one of those experiences where it's like, if you're a Marvel fan, or if you're like a really heavy into like a certain fandom, and you go with a bunch of people, I really can only articulate it towards like what other Marvel fans experience, because I haven't really seen it with other groups of fans. But like, if you go to a film and everybody's just straight up involved in the story and oohing and aahing and cheering, I've never felt like it was okay to cry in a theater until the night I went to go see The Force Awakens.
Frozen 2.
I have many questions about that. Have you not? No. What?
Spencer, I cried in that movie too.
Have you not
Frozen
seen
Frozen 2?
No! No, not Frozen 2. Olaf is not worth crying.
Oh, about. Gosh.
No, have you... You've seen The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
So, like, how could you not, like, feel any kind of emotion when Hans gets...
I was anger. That was the emotion.
That's all right.
The second he stepped on that bridge, I was like, you fool. You know what's going to happen to you.
So, I have a question.
You fool.
I have a question to start this off with.
Uh-huh.
So, this is for introductory into people who haven't seen this franchise, right?
Yeah.
Are you going full spoilers here for movies that are, like, you know, 100%. 5 to 40 years old? Okay, I mean, we're going full story.
We're going full boat here. Like, there's no holds barred here at all.
That's fine.
So, as I stated, we're going to go ahead and jump into Spencer. Frozen 2? No, fool. We're talking about Star Wars.
Yes. Oh, yeah, I'm supposed to read a thing.
That's right. We are talking about Star Wars.
The Imperial Forces, under orders from the cruel Darth Vader, hold Princess Leia hostage in their efforts to quell the rebellion against the Galactic Empire. Luke Skywalker and Han Solo, captain of the Millennium Falcon, work together with their companionable droid duo R2-D2 and C-3PO to rescue the beautiful princess. Help the Rebel Alliance and restore freedom and justice to the galaxy.
That's right. This whole entire...
Are we just talking about 4 or 5
no,
or 6?
No, we're talking about... So this is just...
Why is there only one synopsis?
Because there's 8 films, and unless you're ready to read 8 synopses independently... I know you're not. I know that already.
We could have made it like... Whatever, it's fine.
Well, this isn't like Back to the Future. We can't be like the guy... Blah, 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 blah. Like, it wasn't that formulaic... I mean, we probably could for, like, the trilogy part. That is pretty formulaic. The great thing is that this particular franchise was created by George Lucas and directed by... This franchise has had a slew of directors from George Lucas, Ivan Kershner, Richard Marquand, J.J. Abrams, Rian Johnson, not to mention even the anthological films directed by Gareth Edwards and Ron Howard. We don't talk about Ron Howard's contribution, but still, he's the one who did the Solo film, just in case you know.
Oh, okay.
He didn't do the Aunt Beru film.
Yet.
No.
She could be coming.
We don't talk about that. A couple of quick notes. Did you guys know Luke Skywalker was almost a girl in the franchise?
No.
Of the many, many problems of the clunky script that would become the first Star Wars, one that seemed easily fixed to Lucas was the serious lack of female characters. So Lucas actually did something radical and rewrote his story's main character to be an 18-year-old girl.
Huh.
So you would have had Luella Skywalker?
Luella?
I don't know.
You can give her a completely different name.
Thankfully, he got convinced to go back the other way around, stick with the Luke Skywalker character. Although, I do think that is kind of the direction they ended up deciding to go with the new trilogy.
Definitely.
You know, mm-hmm. So. Yeah. Another piece of information. It actually took four people to portray one Vader. So the on-screen body of Vader is 6'5" bodybuilder David Prowse. His stunt double for action scenes was the professional fencer Bob Anderson. The voice of Vader is none other than the incredible James Earl Jones.
Yeah.
And the de-helmeted face of Vader in Return of the Jedi is Sebastian Shaw. Now, this isn't... before anybody gets into the particulars, we're not talking about, like, Hayden Christensen's like, oh, he was Vader. Like, no. We're not talking about that.
Well, he had, like, what? 5 seconds of no...
No.
Yeah, there you go.
Depends on when you think he became Darth Vader.
That's
another conversation for another time.
To kind of lighten the mood here, by the request of his daughter, George Lucas actually filmed the members of pop music sensation NSYNC for a scene in 2002 Star Wars Episode II: Attack of the Clones. Just a few months before the release of the second Star Wars prequel, George Lucas teased that NSYNC would make an appearance and immediately met vapid backlash from fans. Vapid. Lucas removed the cameo from the final cut before it hit theaters, and the rest is history.
Oh, that's a clip I want to see. Because right? That sounds ridiculous.
Walking in. Luke over there walking into the cantina. Bye, bye, bye. Like, I really hope that never does come about.
What? No, I want to see it.
I don't want to see that
I
want to
see what they thought was good. Because it sounds terrible.
It is terrible.
That's why I want to see it.
That's like wanting to see airplanes crash and trains collide. Like, I'm okay. I know they happen, but it doesn't mean I need to see them. This is one of those situations I'd rather not.
Okay, there's two types of people in the world. Those who like to watch crashes and those who don't. And I and apparently...
those are the people who live on Reddit, okay? So, as I stated, we're going to be talking about Star Wars as the official overview of the franchise itself. We're not the official one, but the overview of the official franchise. This film has really been one of those unique things where it's been around since 1978. I believe it was 78, right?
77.
77. I was close.
You were.
And so you think about that. From 77 till now, that's what, 50 years? Give or take. It's like,
okay. Well. Round up.
40 years. Yeah. 42 years. But the fact remains is that it's been around for almost half a century, mm-hmm. is what I'm saying. And this franchise has been a pivotal part of the many circles that we, all three of us here at this table, have been a part of since probably the beginning of our lives. I mean, like I stated, I think it's safe to say for myself, I grew up having to know all about these toys. I went and purchased a lot of those toys in the stores, the green packs, exclusively all the time. Every time there was a new one that came out, I would exclusively buy the green pack ones. and it was one of those things where it was like, who didn't want to be Luke Skywalker, the Jedi Knight who wielded the blue lightsaber? You know, it was such a great thing to aspire to. And as a film person who at a young age started liking movies, this was one of those things I was like, how can I go wrong? You know? Spencer, what was your first foray into Star Wars? And I'm really asking because I know where this is going.
Okay, in my defense.
Oh my gosh.
This is gonna be good, right?
I was part of a Star Trek household.
Okay.
Like we were like, you know, it really into Star Trek, me and my dad. So
it's fine.
I was lagging behind in Star Wars by a lot.
Oy,
like, the first Star Wars movie I saw was Episode 1 in theaters.
Oh my gosh.
So, that did slant me slightly on, like, what my expectations were.
Slightly? You went and saw, like, the Joe Dirt sequel of the Joe Dirt franchise there. That's, like, the movie that not many people... Everybody wants to forget.
Well, I remember Joe Dirt was a thing. I never saw it. Yeah, no, but that makes a lot of sense because, like, even as a kid, I was like, I kind of like this, but it's also kind of boring, and I don't like Jar Jar.
You don't like Trade Federation disputes?
Right.
Political thrillers, right. Not something that interests, like, little 10-year-olds.
Cultural appropriation of making Jamaicans into aliens.
Yeah, so...
So when did you see the original trilogy?
Sometime after that. I don't even remember when.
Right.
But, yeah, that was better.
I like how that it took a second for him to realize, that like, wait better. A second. Yeah, I'm okay.
Yeah, so at some point between, like, episode 1 and 3, I saw it. Because my other friends were super crazy about it, too.
Oh, your other friends. Okay.
We didn't know each other our whole lives, Eddie. We lived in different states. I don't know what you want from me. The other friends, okay. Uh-huh. But, you know, episode 3 had some good moments in it. And
yeah. I mean, I think it's safe to say for anybody who is introduced into this... here's the thing. I knock on it, and for Spencer, of course, I'll always give him a hard time about it. However... anybody who finds an end to this franchise, no matter where it's at, whether if it's episode 1, episode 6, episode 4, wherever it may have started, the fact remains is that it's kind of the gateway to everything else that has been and will be, in my opinion. So if you started in episode 1, you eventually came around to episode 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah, it's just, I remember episode 2 came out, I was like, I don't really want to.
Episode 2 was one of those kind of in-betweens, like, I don't think, and correct me if I'm wrong, Travis, but I don't think I've ever found a film franchise that has had, when it's a trilogy, has had a stellar second film, aside from, like, Back to the Future and Empire.
Empire would be probably the biggest one.
Because Attack of the Clones was just god-awful.
Sad.
Like,
it's coarse.
It's yeah, so everywhere. Coarse and gritty and gets everywhere. And Hayden Christensen needed to be put down in episode 2.
Yeah, that movie really suffered from the direction George Lucas gave with the... not so great dialogue that he wrote.
Yeah. Oh
my gosh,
like, yeah. Most Star Wars fans have this love-hate relationship with George Lucas where we just love his vision and his world building.
Yeah.
And, you know, his creativity as far as, like, his innovation, actually filmmaking, but he is not the best director or even better dialogue. Put it this way, he's not a very good director with actors.
That's probably the best way to put it. But so you eventually ended up seeing the original trilogy.
Yes, at some point.
And then did you get a chance to see any of the new trilogy when they came out?
7? 4 are you talking about?
7 and 8?
Yeah, yeah. No, I saw those, like, really close.
I'm like, we're preparing for 9 here. I hope you've seen at least 7 and 8 here.
No, I've never watched 7 or 8.
It's like, what are you talking about? I just saw episode 1. That's where I left it off. I thought that was the whole Star Wars.
No, yeah. I pretty much watched both 7 and 8 when they came out. I was, you know, 7 had me like, okay, hey. We're going somewhere. 8 was like, oh gosh. Because I was debating, is this like worse than
Spencer
2?
Had to bring out his inhaler. Oh, Lord. It's like, I have to admit, I may have been too harsh on it, but the immediate reaction I had after seeing 8, I came into the studio, and at the time, that's when it was just myself and Chad. And I immediately left. So I left the theater. I realized I needed to get somebody to come in to help me record it. And I ended up getting somebody that I used to work with that was as much of a diehard fan of Star Wars as Travis. What I didn't realize was that we both were heavily in the negative mindset of what this film had done to us and spent about a good hour 20 just berating this film straight.
On the podcast?
On the podcast. It's one of these episodes in here. We literally, we essentially attributed it to the chaotic nature of the film is why this review is so chaotic in nature. So I'm not proud of it, but I am proud of it. but I think
it makes sense though. Like,
yeah,
episode 8's all over the place.
No.
To the point where I have questions about what the basic story is.
Travis, I want to ask you a question. So obviously, knowing where you began, that's a moot question. Obviously, you started at the beginning. But knowing that you're a longtime fan, what was the film in this franchise that solidified the fact that you knew you were in love with this franchise?
Well, it definitely would be Empire Strikes Back.
Mm.
Like, I love the dialogue and the humor and the overall story of Episode 4, New Hope. But when you get to Empire, it's just one step deeper, and the characters are in real danger. Not that they aren't in the first one, but you just feel it a lot more. Like, the emotion level is quite high.
Yeah.
And but it still is very, very, very funny in a Star Wars humor kind of way.
Yeah.
And everything just seems bigger. Like, the Empire seems more dangerous, and you know, you feel like, especially as a kid, that our heroes just are not going to be able to get out of this one. And because it ends on such a kind of a downbeat,
yeah,
you really, really feel that. So it had a real emotional impact on me as a kid, and obviously still as an adult. It's my favorite film, not just Star Wars movie, but just favorite film in general.
Wow. Well, like we said, we're going to talk about this franchise and kind of the little bits of ins and outs. This isn't going to be a full, like, nobody has that much time on their hands, to be quite honest, to go through every single speck of each film. Although that wouldn't be a bad idea. but we're going to talk about some of the key things. And this is essentially going to be our Star Wars crash course for those who aren't aware of what the Star Wars film is. And obviously, this goes back to the first big question: who created Star Wars? So obviously, George Lucas, the man who decided to digitize Mos Eisley, he is the creator of this entire story, this entire franchise. Alongside with him, you had Mark Hamill at the time had done some small things. Harrison Ford actually was a carpenter before he got the role for Han Solo, which is pretty interesting. He's the poster child of one of those things of, like, you know, hey, positive, you know, mindsets. You know, Harrison Ford was a 36-year-old carpenter before he got picked up to be Han Solo. Look at him now. Like, I see him on LinkedIn, that story, and I'm like, oh, okay, that's where I'm always reminded of it. Carrie Fisher was just wonderful, and this unforeseen powerhouse of a woman. Little did she know, quite honestly, that she was going to become the icon and poster child for female empowerment on screen, because I don't think there was ever a moment where Carrie Fisher was not in charge when she was on screen.
That's right.
Like, everything that I've seen her in, from Star Wars to The Burbs to even The Blues Brothers, she is. Have you ever seen Spencer of The Blues Brothers?
No.
That's a great cameo.
It really is. She is this crazy daughter of a mob boss, and the entire film she's trying to kill Elwood Blues.
Huh.
Because they were supposed to get married, but he ended up going to jail. So, but the entire time, she's got, like, these ridiculous weapons. She's got, like, AK-47s. She's got explosives. She's got a rocket launcher. Well, like, where she came out with a rocket launcher, I have no clue. But she has one. And that's just the person that Carrie Fisher was. And sadly, we lost Carrie Fisher a few years back. However, I think it's really a great thing to say that somebody like Carrie Fisher, somebody who embodied the character of Leia, seriously gave a really wonderful gift to women that are, you know, currently just women in general. Like, to see that somebody like Leia didn't have to be the damsel in distress. Like, I think that's pretty apparent in Episode 4. Where she's like, you know, she grabs a blaster out of what's-his-name's hands and starts shooting, and she's just the take-charge type of princess that's not really in the... Although her accent does kind of waver from, like, English to, you know, American throughout the film. But, I mean, what do you guys think about Carrie Fisher? Just because I don't want to go on too long, but I do think she is still somebody that is worth mentioning.
Yeah, I mean, considering there wasn't that many females in all of the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, that's true.
She really like stepped up to the plate and delivered on making that impact.
Yeah,
on I think both little boys and little girls back then, you know. So definitely a great part of the original Star Wars trilogy.
I couldn't imagine it without her.
Well, I mean,
like, who would you even get to replace her?
I was
right?
just going
to
say, like, at the time, I don't think there was really anybody else that was of enough notoriety that I'd want. Like, can you imagine, like, Farrah Fawcett in the role of Princess Leia? Like, no.
That's not right.
I feel like it was perfect for her, and she helped create something that even, I don't even think George Lucas had envisioned for the character. Couple other key characters as the years go by. Although we have Alec Guinness, who played Obi-Wan in the original trilogy, I think I'm going to have to kind of default to my other Obi-Wan and say Ewan McGregor, I love as Obi-Wan. Although I have to say I wish Qui-Gon / Liam Neeson stayed in the franchise a little longer.
That would have been cool.
That would have been great. You had Ewan McGregor, Natalie Portman playing Padme Amidala, Hayden Christensen playing the infamous Anakin Skywalker / soon-to-be Darth Vader. And then in the new trilogy, you had players such as Daisy Ridley, who played Rey, John Boyega, who plays Finn, deserter of the Empire, Imperial Army. Or no, they're the First Order.
Yep.
Yes.
Oscar Isaac, Rebellion pilot, or Resistance pilot. And Adam Driver, who plays the new whiny baby in this one. what is his name?
Kylo Ren.
So these are a lot of the main characters. Not to mention, obviously, we could get into the more of the weeds of, like, the anthological films. Like, obviously, I'm going to be quite honest. One of my, in the top three, Rogue One has got to be probably my number two.
It is so good.
It is a good incredible. One. Like the way Rogue One butts up right against Episode 4, creating that seamless, like, all right, I could see Rogue One starting this entire thing and start from there. Like, it sets the tone. And I think it really does a great job in terms of setting the expectations for what Vader is in the overall universe. And then, yeah, Ron Howard. I don't really want to talk about him. But Ron Howard is the one who directed Solo, the film that almost literally tanked every film to come out afterwards for the Star Wars franchise.
Well, didn't it, like, actually tank all of the side story plans that they had?
You guys are a little harder on that movie than I would go, but it was a combination of that plus The Last Jedi.
Because it was in tandem that same year. We talked about that last time.
Yeah.
how, because of both of those films, it really turned the entire franchise on its head, making everybody start to, like, seriously scrutinize what is going on with the direction. Thankfully, Jon Favreau had to come in and be like, all right, guys, let me Iron Man this whole place out.
Okay, but, like, I still want Darth Maul to come back. Like, you can't, like...
But he's not going to come back.
But he should.
He's not going to.
But why not?
We'll explain that in a second.
This is unfair.
So, Travis, if you could kind of explain a bit, talking about the basics of this universe, what are the two kind of balance of powers that are in this universe for Star Wars?
You must be referring to the Force and those that use the Force, the light side and the dark side, the Jedi and the Sith. Is that what you're referring to?
That is what I'm referring to.
Right. So, yeah, the dark side would be the Sith, and then the light side would be the Jedi. And there's this thing that Lucas started way back in the movies called... Well, I guess he kind of really hit it when the prequels came into existence, called the Balance of the Force. And so kind of the balance of the universe, and that's up for much, much debate. That gets deeper into Star Wars lore. Yeah. But that's kind of like how this universe kind of exists. There's a light side and a dark side.
And it's interesting how a lot of the in the films itself, it's not explored all that much until Disney started creating a lot of the side story cartoon shows, like the Attack of the Clones series, or the Clone Wars series, right. And then the Star Wars Rebels series, where it delves deeper into the, I guess, mythos of where that balance comes from and who is kind of the symbol of it, if you will, the father, the daughter, the son, or the way that whole thing, it's explained really greatly. Like, if I was to really get into depth, I would know that Clone Wars episode number by heart, because it's a great run of episodes. You know what I'm talking about, Travis?
I do. It's called the Mortis Trilogy.
The Mortis Trilogy.
But Lucas started really, you know, first introduced it in, like, I think in episode 2 or 3, when he started talking about, you know, there's the, you know, the master and the apprentice, and rule of two type of a thing.
Yeah.
And then as far as when Luke, or when, I guess, when Vader redeems or destroys the Emperor, you know, originally people thought that was the balance of the Force, you know, like the Darth Vader Anakin saves his son, and thus, you know, the world has been restored and the Force has been balanced. But now with this new trilogy and, you know, evil is back, what does that mean? Which there's obviously tons and tons of theories out there on what the balance is now.
Yeah. And unless you've been living under a rock when it comes to this, obviously the weapon of choice for most Jedi and Sith are the lightsabers.
Yeah.
Very cool weapon.
Very cool weapons. Usually in red or in blue and green, except if you want to get the one outlier of the gentleman who comes in and says, I want a purple one.
Yeah.
Mace Windu's purple saber.
The best one.
which, side note, has anybody here seen the Vader fan film?
I have seen that Vader fan film you're referring to.
So there's it's a really great fan film done by a guy who actually got sued for a little bit by Lucasfilms or Disney.
Yeah, he got, but then they backed off on him.
Yeah, they backed off because he got like support from other people. But essentially the film is really good, and it kind of hints towards the fact that Mace Windu is still alive and actually beaten down on like Empire people. And it's really cool.
Spencer, he's dead.
but it's really cool. Like, obviously, between the usage of their lightsaber, they also have the usage of utilizing the Force, wielding it in ways to create like moving things with Force movements and so forth.
And they also have Jedi mind tricks.
That's right.
Jedi powers.
Spencer,
what,
he tries to use that on you sometimes?
All the time.
No, that never happens.
Uh-huh. That's why. No, never mind. But within the realm of these two clans, if you want to call it, or these two balance of powers, I mean, you have a lot of key players in that realm. You have somebody who plays the emperor, or the king, if you will, if you think of it as a chess set, the king on the dark side, which would be the Emperor Palpatine. Well, technically, he's just Palpatine at the time.
Right.
What is his Sith name? Do you remember?
Darth Sidious.
That's right, Darth Sidious.
Are you trying to quiz me for the trivia contest coming
up? Maybe, I don't know.
he's making notes.
like I'm trying to make notes for the episode that day or for whatever. Whatever, Spencer. Anyway, but a lot of the key players for the entirety of this whole thing, another key player is Yoda. Yoda is one of the oldest and still alive Jedi at the time throughout the entire franchise, hitting that 900-year mark. Go, go, Yoda. Alongside him, you have characters like Obi-Wan being the Jedi in both the prequel trilogy as well as in the original trilogy. And then you have the Skywalkers, which both represent Vader and Luke, and Leia, to be precise.
She has the Force.
That's right.
That was a surprise.
Remember? She does the Mary Poppins thing.
Yeah. was like, what is happening? I missed a movie or something?
She Mary Poppins that whole thing, man. All that needed was a spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down. Who are some of the other key players that you guys remember? Do you guys know any other key players in this whole entire... Ray and... Because I'm just thinking main franchise, but like Ray and Finn and Poe. But yeah, I'm trying to think anybody else in terms of that whole...
As far as the Force goes?
Yeah, as far as structure balance within the Force.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you would have in the prequels a lot of like just random Jedi, nameless Jedi. Yeah.
Count Dooku, played by the incredible Christopher Lee.
Count Dooku.
Darth Tyrannus?
Yep, you got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
And then, obviously, like we mentioned, Samuel L. Jackson's Mace Windu.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that he's coming back into popularity because of that fan film. But a lot of these particular individuals either at one point in time were a part of a trilogy or ended up dying at the end of a trilogy due to whatever reasons, you know, we'll get into in a second. But these key players all have a hand in creating that balance or imbalance, if you will, of what the Force is, which the Force is the thing that inhabits all living things all over the universe. So when you have an imbalance, things got to get corrected. So talking about the films, I've recently read about it in terms of like the way it's now, categorized. And I really actually like the way it's categorized now, where the prequels, episode 1 through 3, are now categorized as the Age of Republic. 4, 5, and 6, the original trilogy, is the Age of Rebellion, and 7, 8, and soon to be 9 are part of the Age of Resistance. And I think that's a great way to put it. Like, I was trying to create all the information for the questions and everything for our trivia night, and I'm like, I want to be able to put this correctly. I just don't think that's right. And I found this, and I'm like, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, so they're using this terminology now on comics and even sometimes referencing books. And I've been using it as well as kind of like general reference to be like, at this time, it's, you know, like back in the Republic era or... Rebellion era, so
just
it's
nice very helpful, yeah, to like actually have a frame of reference of when something is happening.
Yeah, because right. It helps when it comes to explaining things like, well, wait, when the heck did that happen? Well, that happened. So if you take an episode at the end of episode 3, but not when this happened, but you know before the Battle of Yavin 4, but after the Battle of Scarif, and then just say it's in the Age of Rebellion. Like it's easy to say that now, whereas I remember a time where everything was based on the whole system in terms of, in real life, how we use like the BC and AD. Mm-hmm. It was before the Battle of Yavin 4, yeah, and after the Battle of Scarif. That's how you dictated,
yeah,
at what point in time. So this happened 7 years after the Battle of Scarif, but this happened 5 years before the Battle of Yavin 4.
That sounds so confusing.
Oh, it can be. It definitely can be. Especially seeing as the Battle of Scarif happens at the tail end and the beginning of episode 4, but the Battle of Yavin 4 happens at the end of episode 4. So episode 4 is that middle ground. I love the way Spencer's just looking at me like, what the heck are you saying?
So yeah. How do you reference something? Never mind.
But now that we have this sequel trilogy, yeah, it kind of gives us more room to give some definition of terms. Because exactly. Before we only had 2 eras, basically.
Because now it's more like, instead of you saying, well, that's, you know, 1232 AD, as opposed to like 600th, whatever, now we have like the prehistoric era.
And the great thing about these distinctions isn't just a time frame, it's actually how the universe kind of existed, because
yeah,
back in the Republic era, you would have thousands of Jedis, kind of, or at least hundreds of Jedis, kind of ruling the universe and the galaxy.
Yeah.
Until they kind of messed that up. And then you'd have that middle ground where it's the Empire is taken over because the Jedi failed. And then it's the Rebellion trying to overcome the Empire. And then you got this new sequel trilogy where, again, because of politics and I guess corruption maybe or
something,
then, you know, an evil force has been allowed to rise back up. in mm-hmm. the outer rim, outer territories, and then now is there more of a resistance, you know. So even though they're different time frames, they're also different situations.
Yeah,
that the galaxy is in. So it's kind of cool on both you know levels there.
So in terms of the Age of Republic, so talking about the beginning, we're looking at an era where during this time the Republic was, think of it as like the General Congress of the universe, of the galaxy. The planets were ruled by a Senate type of structure, government structure, and everybody had representatives in the Senate, and it was like a large Congress of meetings when it came to discussing things and matters. And at that time, the protectors of the galaxy, at that time, the protectors of the planets were the Jedi, which were housed, or I guess HQ'd on the planet of Coruscant.
Right.
Coruscant was the home planet for not only them, but a lot of the delegates and senators and people of power in the government that weren't specifically attached to a planet, but had a place in the government. Simultaneously, you had people who were still struggling on the Outer Rims and on other planets, i.e. like Naboo, with the introduction of characters like Queen Amidala and Jar Jar Binks. It's like a sour word to you, Spence. Every time I say Jar Jar Binks, you're like,
I don't like it. I don't like it.
I was thinking about it. I'm like, I could try the voice, but I'm not even going to try.
No, you cannot. Don't.
But you have the introduction as well of Master Jedi Qui-Gon Jinn and his apprentice at the time, Obi-Wan Kenobi. And this is where the introduction came into of the young, I guess, controversial introduction of Anakin Skywalker and creating this whole mythos of the drawing the similarities between him and Jesus Christ, because he was born without a father, but out of
the chosen one.
He was the chosen one, birth out of midichlorians.
Right. He was born to bring balance to the Force.
Yeah. Which Qui-Gon held tightly to
right.
that belief, the beliefs of the old Republic and the ways of the Jedi, sacred texts and so forth. Spencer's looking at me like, what is he talking about?
No, the one... Yeah, I remember the sacred texts, the ones that Yoda burned.
We haven't gotten there yet.
I remember it,
though. He actually didn't burn them.
Thank you. Spence. So, Qui-Gon finds this child, decides he's going to train him on his own, gets pushback from the Jedi. He ends up dying by the hands of... Spencer.
What?
Who does Qui-Gon die by...
Who kills Qui-Gon?
Your fave.
Yeah. I forgot his name.
Wow. You're like, I want to see more of Darth Maul.
I was thinking about something else.
I'm so glad you're invested into this
conversation.
This
is a very expansive series.
We're not even touching the comics, the fan fiction books, the EU. Travis is extremely well-versed in the books.
I'm caught up on the books, not quite on the comics yet. But my wife is caught up on all the comics.
See, and I'm still working through a lot of the comics. I'm still trying to get through like the first two Thrawn books. And I just, they're really expansive. So you want to talk about expansive? Let's go into that conversation.
All right, I'll go home.
But no, you at the hands of Darth Maul, Qui-Gon dies and Obi-Wan takes on the mantle of Master Jedi as well as the teacher to young Anakin Skywalker. And thus becomes the entrance into the Clone Wars. Because at the time, there was a separatist army led by... Travis?
Count Dooku?
Count Dooku.
Yeah.
Who
I didn't know where you're going, sorry.
Count Dooku was leading a separatist army trying to take over the parts of the galaxy, the different planets, and so forth. And behind the scenes of him was Darth... Emperor Palpatine pulling the strings, setting up the stage for what's to become the Clone War, ultimately creating this fear and panic, creating this fear and panic and this mistrust in the Jedi and what they're capable of doing, and having him come in to save the day with these clones that had been started on several years prior on the planet of Kamino, and essentially... at the right exact time were deployed to help fight the Separatist army. However, this had been a ploy the entire time by Emperor Palpatine, to try to overthrow the government as well as overthrow the Jedi, resulting in a coup against the Jedi and executing Order
66.
Yeah. Ultimately destroying every sense of the Jedi that was remaining. And in that whole entire ordeal, turning Anakin Skywalker over to the dark side, thus creating Darth Vader.
Yeah, I mean, that whole series kind of just shows how even good intentions with the Jedi could, you know, fail ultimately, yeah. You know? Yeah. And so even though the Jedi were the guardians of peace, they still kind of failed in that sense, because they let... Yeah. They let Palpatine kind of rise underneath them, right in front of them.
Yeah, well, and I think the biggest thing is that they underestimated,
right?
You know, Emperor Palpatine. Well, they just underestimated the dark side.
Even Yoda did that.
Yeah, Yoda mentions it several times. Like this, he didn't see. He wasn't even aware of it, and it slipped right under his nose. So, out of this era, we get the death of Padme. We get the birth of Luke and Leia, who are then. Shipped off into two separate directions. One's going with what's his name? Jimmy Smits.
Bail Organa.
To Alderaan. going to
Jimmy Smits.
Bail Organa to Alderaan, and the other one is going to Owen and his wife and his wife Beru on Tatooine.
His wife and Beru.
I mean, hey, backwoods Tatooine shooting womp rats. With Obi-Wan promising to overlook and keep an eye on the child. Now, here's the unique thing. I'm waiting for, and I don't know if maybe you can shed some light on this, Travis, because I don't know if they have, but have they ever gone into detail as to what exactly Qui-Gon, because I know they talked about it in Clone Wars.
Okay.
But in terms of like story or whatnot, have they ever gone into detail as to what Qui-Gon showed Yoda and what Yoda showed Obi-Wan?
Yeah. So there's been a book that shows that, and maybe some comics as well, that shows that Qui-Gon was learning how to talk as a spirit, or to become a force ghost essentially. And so Qui-Gon, I guess I can't remember if it's Yoda that taught Qui-Gon or Qui-Gon figured it out how to, you know, communicate with the living.
I think
that's what it is.
Yeah, because I believe Qui-Gon figured it out.
Right.
And then through communing with Yoda.
Yoda.
Was able to teach Yoda. And then in turn, Yoda taught Obi-Wan.
Obi-Wan, right.
So that Obi-Wan would learn over the course of time while on Tatooine how to commune with the living after he's passed.
Right. And that's one of the kind of the rules that have been established in this universe, is that that only like Jedi can do Force Ghosts as far as we know.
That's as far as we know.
Right, as far as we know.
Which kind of gives a little bit of air of like hesitation to believe what a lot of people are believing for this latest film, but we'll get into that in a second.
Right.
So you bring in the Age of Rebellion comes in. We're passing up Clone Wars, we're passing up Star Wars Rebels, we're passing up Rogue One, going right into Age of Rebellion, where you have a grown-up Luke and Leia. Well, Travis, why don't you take it?
Grown-up Luke and Leia, you're right. Yeah, basically it's the story of a ragtag group of people that kind of under, you know, some circumstances get together. And, I mean, I would assume it's destiny that Luke leaves Tatooine and joins up with the Rebellion. And, again, I think with the Force guiding him, destroys the evil, you know, well, the Death Star in the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
And continues on from there. But basically, it's that struggle of the small ragtag group of freedom fighters fighting against overwhelming odds with the Empire that have complete control of the, you know, almost all the systems around them.
Yeah.
And so the rebellion is very, very small, at least in the first couple of films. I mean, on the second movie, when they're on Hoth, they just get discovered and they're not even going to fight. They're just going to flee.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even like, let's stand our ground and fight. They're just out of there, you know.
Get on our tauntauns and turn tail.
Exactly. So it just shows how small they were and how, you know, how powerful the Empire was. But I think what I like the underlying story there is that, you know, it's these these moments of deciding with where friends can basically sacrifice for each other.
Yeah.
And ultimately, you know, that is what kind of defeats the Empire. I mean, if you kind of boil it down, is that, that they will be willing to do anything to kind of fight for each other.
Yeah.
You know, sacrifice themselves or potentially, you know, themselves or something like that, you know?
Yeah. And in the that original trilogy, that's where we are introduced to what many people were aware of as what Yoda was like, which he essentially is starts out as this like coddling old
right.
old creature who's silly and voiced by the incredible Frank Oz. I mean, plain and simple, Frank Oz was
not just voice, but puppeted, performed,
yeah, as well. Which small, totally different, you know, little thing. Frank Oz had a role in Knives Out, which was also done by Rian Johnson. Yeah. So you see the introduction at the time, the original introduction of Yoda. You see the fall of the Empire, the defeat of that we know, the defeat of the Emperor himself, as well as the destruction and dissolution of the Empire as a whole. Out of that, we get the fast forward. Do you know how many years it is from Episode 6 to Episode 7?
I thought it was 20, but I could be wrong about that. I haven't thought about that in a while. I'm pretty sure it's 20.
I'm wondering now. Let's see. Because I believe... Oh, wow. There's a whole little slew of this. So between Episode 6 to Episode 7, it's 30 years.
Oh, 30. Wow. There you go.
So within the 30-year time frame, we fast forward to the story of Rey. And Spence, you want to explain a little bit about Episode 7 and 8?
Okay.
I believe in you.
Okay, so what is it? You start with like Rey, mm-hmm. and I don't know enough about this.
You've got there's only two films so far, so you've gotten the majority of it down already.
Okay, like the basics is you get Rey, and she somehow gets a tag group of like Finn and Poe Dameron, and then they're going after Kylo Ren, who is like. Am I or anti-evil, like, through most of episodes? And then you've got Chewbacca and Han Solo who pop in, and that was a bad decision for Han, because, like, like part three through the movie, like, he dies in his son's arm because his son kills him, his son's Kylo Ren. It's so bad.
It's so bad that your son kills his dad? Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so then what else happens in that movie? That movie also introduces Snoke, who is promptly dispatched in the next movie almost so fast. You don't even see it happen.
No, seriously.
Yeah. And then Leia's around. That's the one where she does the Mary Poppins space thing.
She wields the Force somehow.
Right.
A lot of what happens in The Last Jedi is kind of a blur.
Actually, that does bring up a point. Do they, like, do any of the books or comics
not yet.
Explain that?
Let me think. Hold on.
Of what?
You know what?
Like, just Leia, like, learning how to use the Force.
Yeah, because, like, well, she's always been able to, she's been thinking about the Force, but she's not a Jedi.
Yeah.
But she's had the Force with her all the time.
Because she senses it.
Right.
In Episode 6 in Return of the Jedi.
Okay, but like sensing and flying into a spaceship are wildly different.
I believe there is like a book or comic that tries to help it. I can't remember what it is off the top of my head.
Yeah, well, there's that Solo Carrie book. Leia book.
Right.
That came out that I think touches on it.
It's possible.
but I don't personally think there is. Now, if you want to go non-canon... I believe there are some legacy information that may touch on it that they haven't really touched on in terms of like the because isn't there I don't know I'm not gonna get into
yeah,
the,
no.
The lore whatever
stuff
no because there, there's a ton of stuff like if you realize the full expanse of what everything has been contributed to this franchise like I said not only do you have the 8 now going to be 9 movies you have the anthological films you have the cartoon series 3 of them now.
Yeah.
you have the TV series with The Mandalorian. You have the specials. You have the comic books that are canon. You have the comic books that are not canon. Yeah. You have the books that are canon. You have the books that are not canon. You know, and then everything else from there that, you know, either has been fan fiction
and or video games.
And video games. And video games.
Yeah.
You know, because now with the introduction, like you stated, I mean, pretty much everything you said is just right on the money. There's not really much else to it. No. Leia ends up, Leia ends up still leading the rebellion as the general.
But they have even less troops than, you know, the than the rebels did in, you know, the original trilogy.
Yeah.
There's like a scattering of ships left.
And then you have the recognition of Luke becoming that which Obi-Wan was, which essentially is a force ghost in this universe, after he creates a force ghost that traverses clear across the galaxy.
Ultimately sacrificing himself, I guess.
Yeah, because he used all his batteries for that long distance call.
Yeah,
And then you have...
Why did he do that?
That's a great question.
Well, I...
That's like...
I guess he did that to give, you know, his friends who are trying to run away some time to escape.
But why not just go there?
Well, yes. I'm not here to defend The Last Jedi.
You're asking questions that we've been asking for a long time now. And I think that kind of is the gist of 7 and 8, to be quite frank, because there's not much else after the fact to really dig into. You know, you have the questions about Luke and why he did that. You have the questions as to whether or not, since you have an appearance of Yoda in The Last Jedi, are you going to see an appearance of Yoda in the Rise of Skywalker, with the ending of, well, with Carrie Fisher no longer being, you know, a part of this world anymore? How do you outro an iconic character that is still technically alive according to the last film?
Yeah.
You know, and then you have what looks to be, you know, certain roles for certain demises for certain key characters that it's like, so wait, how is this going to happen? How is that going to happen? And that leads to a lot of questions for episode 9. And I kind of wanted to, I wanted to do this proper. So I wanted to be able to do something for you, Spence, and offer.
What? No.
Conspiracy theories.
I'm not going to be any good at this. I don't even know what's happening in 7 days.
You know what? I'm not too sure Ryan Johnson knew either, so it's okay. But the idea is, obviously, with episode 9, there's a lot that's being alluded to. And Travis is right, because even the video games are giving a lot of information that... It's now a... You can't really tell if it's supposed to be canon or not, because... There are parts of the video games that reflect the films, but then not all the films. Does that also equate to all the films reflecting the video games? There's a whole sequence in the Battlefront series where. So let me. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself.
I do think they try to work it in. I do think they try to justify it.
So with this last film, episode 9, and obviously we've seen the trailers, we've heard the stories, we know the rumors, everything that's been coming about. One of the things that I wanted to do is I kind of want to go around the table and see what are some of the thoughts about episode 9. Now, this is going back into the hands of J.J. Abrams. So J.J. Abrams is the one who did The Force Awakens. I'm looking at Spence, and Spence is like...
It's a different look. I understand. I know he was there for the 7 and 9. Yeah.
For the 7 and the 9. And the, but here's the thing. I don't want it to be something that's like really, you know, chaotic. I want to know like actual thoughts. Like, what do you really think is going to happen with episode 9? Because to be quite frank, let's be honest. Anything is possible right now.
Right.
Nothing is sacred. Everything is off the table in terms of not doing, like, you know, do you think they're going to reveal the species of what Yoda is?
No.
Well, see, the thing is that George Lucas swore. No. He actually told Disney.
That's why he's just like, no. No one can know. I'm George Lucas.
That's not Emperor Palpatine on that chair. It's actually George Lucas. Oh, that's what you're not getting. There's a lot of questions about, like, now with the Mandalorian series, you have the introduction of another member of the species that Yoda belongs to, otherwise known as Baby Yoda.
The child.
The child. Baby Yoda. Baby, baby Yoda. Baby Yoda. Sorry. No.
It's so cute, Spencer.
No, it is a cute thing, and it's almost like someone should be able to sue Disney over that kid.
Which yeah, it's
like,
pretty dumb cute.
Yeah.
So with everything that's been going on and everything that's been happening with this franchise, I want to know your guys' honest opinions. Like, where do you think Episode 9 is going to go to? What are some of your theories? And I'll go ahead and start, because I think I have an idea. I don't know if I'm right, but I would like to bounce it off you guys and see what you think. Because I really appreciate this entire franchise as a whole. However, I'm really hoping that this Episode 9 film rights the ship. And these are my theories / prayers, if you want to say, like, please, 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 George Lucas, right, gods of all Star Wars, change the route of this ship or something. And my thoughts are, I really believe that we're going to get a representation of what Battlefront, the video game, the Battlefront series had presented. I think it was Battlefront 2, where you come to realize that Palpatine actually uploaded his consciousness into a data system, and now he's represented by these droids. So he's still around. He's just now as more like a guiding force of, like, information telling people what to do and whatnot, as opposed to execute another plan in the phase of, you know, after the Empire's. So in Battlefront, you come to find out that it's actually Palpatine's idea to go to the Outer Rim and to stay there in hiding so that they don't get caught, the remainder of the Empire, and to regather their troops, regather their losses, and then to create the new First Order. Now, I believe this isn't Palpatine that we're going to see. I believe this is a droid. I don't believe in the clone theory. Yeah. And there's a lot of people who believe that, you know, that, oh, because they're reintroducing the planet of Kamino back into the storyline because of the Mandalorian series, because the doctor or whatever he is in the first
episode, right, has the little insignia from Kamino.
From Kamino. Right. They think that, oh, well, it has to do with clones and whatnot. I don't think clones have to do with this. I believe he's a robotic Ultron, if you will.
Let me throw this at you. Some people are thinking that maybe he's coming back in an object. So, you know,
a Horcrux?
So, you know,
yeah.
You know, like the Vader mask.
Yeah.
It's symbolized a couple of times. It's in Force Awakens. It's in it's not in The Last Jedi, but I don't think it's in The Last Jedi, but it's in these new trailers. So some people are thinking that that maybe his essence is coming through the mask. I'm currently reading a book called The Force Collector. It's one of the books kind of leading up to the movie.
Okay.
And the young kid who's in it, who's the main character in this movie, I'm only halfway through it, he can sense the Force in objects. And if he touches the object, it will give him the story of that object. If a Jedi touched this object, or if, you know, there's some type of Force related to it. So
Now, is this the kid from The Last Jedi that was sweeping the grounds with the
broom boy kid? Yeah, broom boy. No, I don't think so. So anyway, there's a lot of theories going around that may, and I'm not a big theory guy right now. I'm trying to actually stay away from spoilers and all that type of stuff. But that's not a theory. That's not a spoiler. It's kind of like speculation.
Yeah.
Of maybe that's how Palpatine's coming back. But that other theory with the droids is one of them as well.
Yeah.
But since we've seen the mask so much in these trailers,
yeah,
that's why people are, and the fact that they smash it, I think, in one of the trailers.
Yeah.
Like that Kylo and Rey are working together at the end there, or yeah, less the theory that maybe they're working together to try to defeat Palpatine. So
I hope, but I feel like the best way, so I'm gonna be blunt and openly honest about this. I feel like both Kylo and Rey are gonna die in this film. I feel like the ending of both of them will create the ultimate balance of powers.
Right. That's possible.
And we move forward into other avenues, other stories, other things.
Right.
And I feel like I think that's my And it sounds like a weird hope, but I feel like in order for us to move forward outside of this Skywalker lineage, we need to eliminate everything that ties itself to it so that we can recreate what could be new for this universe that has been for 40 years. So, but that's essentially one of my theories. What about you? What do you feel, Travis?
I think that's my only theory on the Emperor, but I think it's going to kind of, they're going to hit on some of the family, you know, lineage type things still, because if they're, this film is supposed to wrap up all 9 episodes, they're going to have to go back to Anakin somehow, because he's the one that kind of ties all this together. And the fact that, you know, Kylo Ren is a Skywalker, either he's going to have to embrace his family heritage, or he's going to have to, you know, and make a final, like, well, he's, you know, when he kills his father, that's kind of pretty, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of final.
It's kind of final. I know. Well, that's why some people are like, well, where do you go from here? Because you've already done that, you know? And so I think lineage and, you know, family will be a big theme in this movie. You know, where's Rey's situation? Is she truly a nobody like Kylo told her in the last movie? Or is she really something?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I kind of hope she's still nobody. You know, that even though she's a nobody, she can rise up and be, you know, the hero that we need.
Yeah.
So I think that'll be one of the big themes in this film. I don't know if they're going to redeem Kylo Ren or not, but how they do that.
No, because it's true, because it's one of those situations where it's like you have to, first off, you have to appease the audience in finally, if not revealing who her parentage is, revealing that she has no parentage.
Right.
There has to be some kind of revelation on that part.
Especially since JJ did the first one, he put that scene in there with her, you know, getting taken from, or, you know, her getting, you know, her as a kid. I think he'll tie that part up.
Yeah.
Or at least hint at it a little bit. I think he has to.
True.
But you never know. But my other kind of hope is that somehow Kylo and Rey do get together to fight the Emperor for a little bit.
That would be interesting, but it's a wonder as to how he's going to be represented.
Right.
And that's one of those things where it's like, okay, what do you do from there?
Right.
What about you, Spence? Any theories, any thoughts, any hopes?
No. And here's why. I fundamentally do not understand what the story is in these movies.
Yeah.
Like, once we're up into 7, 8, like, I understand, like, you know, 1 through 3, I get it. 4 through 6, I get it. We're on our final movie, and I don't even know what story they're trying to tell is. Literally anything is possible in this movie, and it's confusing to me.
And I think you have a really strong point, because, in essence, if JJ just continues his story that he was telling, Episode 8 really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
If he truly does continue on with even how we're talking right now, you know, it's kind of like that movie didn't really matter. And so it's very confusing and very frustrating, honestly.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing for a lot of fans to finally, and I think rounding out this conversation, I feel like one of the things that really just absolutely has to happen is we need to finally see the fans rectified in terms of their fandom and this franchise. Right. And I don't just mean like, oh, well, you have to do right by me. Like, you got to bring everything. You got to fix everything. Blah, blah, blah. No. I'm saying create a cohesive story that when this tale is over, I can see that final dot on that sentence and see the end and say, okay, I'm ready for the next book.
Right, because you were talking about, you know, this might be an intro for some people into Star Wars. Star Wars is not going away after this movie.
No.
In fact, it's going to go on a long time, just like Marvel, you know, just like some of these other big franchises. And so technically the Skywalker story might kind of be done, which I doubt. But it's still going on. So they might set up something for the future here. Definitely.
Broom Boy's coming back for episode 10.
Right.
he's He's the new Darth Maul.
But you're right. You're right, Eddie. They do need kind of like a big ending. Yeah. You know, the way, you know, Return of the Jedi had a celebration at the end. And, we, you know, it's kind of like what you might call a fairy tale ending. Everything's kind of wrapped up really nice. And,
yeah.
But I think with the way that way they're making movies these days, they probably won't wrap it up so nice and neat.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think there has to be some type of, you know, you like the good guys have won this. You cannot in this franchise or this saga story with, well, you know, Kylo might come back or, you know, like, well, you know, there has to be a big win at the end, because if it's not, I mean, that's what Star Wars is, you know, when you really break it down, you know, good defeating evil and guys, you know, people doing the right thing. So maybe the Jedi might not go on. Maybe it's something else, but and maybe there's no more Sith, but it has to be a big win at the end to make us feel like it's that we've, you know, invested in this and it's paid off.
Yeah, I agree completely. And this is a franchise that has held the hearts of many a people for ages, and in doing so, there's a lot of responsibilities in that. And I think one of those responsibilities is much like, and this is going to sound a little bit weird, but like much like to a long time friend that you've had, or a long time relationship you may have carried with someone, when they pass, you do a proper send off. And if we're going to end this era of the Skywalkers, if we're going to end this era of 9 films over the course of 40 years, let's do it proper. So, last question, and I really, this is just for speculation and my own curiosity. Who do you think is the parentage of Rey, or do you think that she's just a nobody? Anybody?
I'm 50-50 on just nobody versus, you know, Leia and Han as the parents.
I feel like, I don't know. I give way too much credit to Dave Filoni. Right. And I feel like maybe she's like the daughter or the granddaughter of, or the great-granddaughter, if you will, of General Syndulla and Kanan Jarrus.
You're going there?
I don't know. That'd be really cool.
That's pretty deep. That's pretty deep. I'm doubling down on she's a nobody.
Ah, well, there you go. But, I mean, this is the Star Wars franchise, and as much as we are hardcore nerds, we are also hardcore movie fans, and the bottom line, the best way to appease everybody is to just give the fans a solid and wonderful story. So, but that about wraps up another awesome episode of the Filmlosophers. Remember, you can catch all of our episodes over at our website at filmlosophers.com, where you can listen to over 190 episodes of mine and Spencer's voice.
Yep. It's fantastic.
It is wonderful. Also, I'm sorry, I got choked up there. Also, you can check us out on our Facebook page at facebook.com/filmlosophers and our Twitter page and Instagram page at twitter.com/filmlosophy101 and Instagram's user handle at filmlosophy101.
Have we posted anything on Instagram?
Shush.
You tell the people to check out our blank page.
Hey, I'm working on it. Also, just a reminder, next Monday, December 16th at 6 o'clock, we got an awesome trivia night in store for you. If you haven't checked it out, head on over to our Facebook page. I have the link for the invite at the very top of our page, where you can check out all the sign-out sheets and seeing what's going on in terms of events and everything else going on that day. We're going to have tons of prizes. We got a lot of questions. A lot of what we talked about today, to be quite honest, is going to be a part of that trivia. Some of those trivia questions. So if you were listening to this episode, you may have a leg up on the competition. Just saying. Travis is going to be in participation of this trivia night, so you will have massive amounts of competition for that night. Again, too, as well, speaking of Travis, I want to thank him for being a part of tonight's show. Yeah. This was great, and you know what? This is one of those things where when you find common people who share common fandoms and common interests and things like that, it's really hard to not, you know, create a friendship with people like that. And I think that's one of the things that we can appreciate Travis for. So thank you again, Travis, for being a part of the show.
Thank you, gentlemen.
I don't know if you're planning to see opening night for Rise of Skywalker.
Oh, yeah, we are.
So you got your opening night tickets?
We do.
Spence, we got opening night tickets?
No, because I was working. No, this is not my fault.
I think I heard the same conversation from the last Star Wars movie that came out. You guys missed opening night.
No, okay. See, I was working and, like, they were having some stupid website problem. And I was like, okay, I'll check back in 10 minutes. And then 5 hours passed because I was busy. And then I had to go to the next day.
Well, it's okay. We'll forgive Spence this one time. But
dang well better. I put up with so much with you.
Like I said,
I'll call friends, you guys and let you know how it goes.
Friends are family. Here we go. But again, this was a great episode. So, from all of us here at the Filmlosophers, I'm Eddie.
I'm Spence.
I'm Travis.
Class dismissed.